Let's pray. To you, O God, we lift up our souls. Make us to know your ways, O God. Teach us your paths. Amen. This Wednesday, the HMC Book Club will meet to talk about the memoir Open Heart, Open Mind by Olympian cyclist and speed skater Clara Hughes. Clara writes about her journey with mental illness, particularly depression, as well as the intense realities of being a world-class athlete. Some of the really painful moments I found were when she would describe how she and other athletes essentially starved themselves in order to stay on top of their game. Attempting to eat something close to a normal meal for a human body was met with judgment and criticism by athletic colleagues. I haven't ever experienced an eating disorder, as Clara continues to live with, but I have my own interesting relationship with hunger. I was in grade 11 when a series of near blackouts got me into the doctor and I was diagnosed with hypoglycemia. Just means my insulin works overtime and brings my blood sugar level down lower and faster than the average person. There are people who have it more seriously than me, and I've learned to take care of myself by tending to what I eat and at regular times. But life doesn't always serve up regular mealtimes. So the possibility of hypoglycemic episodes is always at the back of my mind. If I'm sitting in my office at 11:30 and I start to feel hungry, I think, oh good, I can warm up my leftovers soon. But say I'm traveling and being hosted by someone I don't know well, when I start feeling hungry, there's a bit of fear that attaches itself. I'm going to need a meal soon. When will it come? What if it's really late? What if I start to feel sick or faint or clouded in my thinking? What if I'm going to be sick for the next whole day because of this? What if they laugh at someone my size needing food or don't believe that this is a medical condition or feel their hospitality is insulted? Why must my body let me down? I'm too embarrassed to explain my hunger because they won't understand. In the wrong setting, my hunger connects to fear. And maybe there's a piece of me that can relate to Clara's struggle because at its worst, my hunger connects to shame. I shouldn't be hungry. I should be able to take care of myself. But this is the season of Lent. This is the season of the church year in which we traditionally lean into our hungers. We fast. We give something up for 40 days, or we try our best to. Our longings represent faithfulness, not shame. In our hunger, we acknowledge our need for God and perhaps confess how we can be distracted from God when we are not hungry, when we are satisfied. During Lent, we realize again that our hunger can guide us in loving God and loving our neighbor. Our hunger can be a holy invitation. But that's not how we typically feel about hunger, is it? And I'm not just talking about food. We hunger for recognition. We hunger for meaning, for connection, for answers, for security. Hunger is uncomfortable. It's frustrating. It needs fixing. It makes us feel how we are incomplete. And if we let that hunger eat away at us, it makes us feel shame. This was how Jesus' temptations in the wilderness were opened up to me recently by Mandy Smith at MCEC School for Ministers. There's Jesus in the wilderness, led there by the Spirit of God. It's the end of 40 days and 40 nights of fasting, and Jesus is famished. And the tempter comes to him and holds up a mirror and says, "Look at how weak you are. Look at how you're barely standing and can't do what you're called to do. How shameful." If you were really powerful enough to be the Son of God, you'd make some bread out of these stones. And then the tempter takes Jesus to Jerusalem and places him on the pinnacle of the temple. And the tempter holds up a mirror again and says, "Look at how alone you are. No one knows your name. You haven't done anything special. How shameful. If you were really charismatic enough to be the Son of God, you'd show everybody with a big miracle like surviving a high dive off the temple." Once more, the tempter takes Jesus to a high mountain and shows him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And the tempter holds up another mirror and says, "Look at how unsuccessful you are. Look at how you have nothing to offer anyone. You're not a leader. You don't know what you're doing. How shameful. If you were really accomplished enough to be the Son of God, you'd show it by ruling over all of these kingdoms." As it did for Jesus, temptation sneaks into our hungers with messages of shame. Look at what you're missing. Look at who you're not. Look at how you're incomplete. Let me tell you how to fill that space. And sometimes we listen to that. We believe that our emptiness is shameful rather than a holy invitation. And when we believe our emptiness is shameful, we're ready to fill our hunger with anything at hand. One person hungers for strength and fills it with dominating others. One person hungers for connection and fills it with physical relationships that have no real intimacy. One person hungers for meaning and fills it with any addiction, any substance at hand. One person hungers for something they can't even name, and they fill it with the constant stream of digital noise, anything to not feel the hunger pangs. We hunger, but there is no shame in our hunger itself. Our hunger is a holy invitation. Do you hunger for strength, connection, meaning, or something you don't even know how to name? In Lent, we stop trying to stuff ourselves full of things that will take our minds off our hunger. In Lent, we confess, "God, we're hungry. We feel an emptiness." When we try to ignore it, we end up breaking our promises, breaking God's commandments, feeling broken. We confess our brokenness, our need to be restored. We confess our hunger. And we discover, instead of shame, a holy invitation. Three times the tempter spoke to Jesus and tried to shame him into filling his hunger by his own efforts. Each time the tempter held up that mirror and tried to say, "How shameful," Jesus said, "That's not true, because God is with me. One does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Worship the Lord your God and serve only God." Jesus said, "There is no shame in my weakness, my aloneness, my poverty, because God is with me." In our hunger is a holy invitation to turn to God and to find out what we're actually hungering for, and to be fed by what truly nourishes the hungers of our hearts and souls. Not the glory of accomplishment or the recognition of the world or any other fleeting snack, but a full course meal of steadfast love and faithfulness. Restore us, O God, we hunger. This is our prayer. If you're giving something up for Lent this year and you feel a little hunger when you think of it, or maybe if you can identify a larger gnawing feeling within your soul that demands to be filled, in all of that we pray, restore us, O God, we hunger. One of our central rituals as the church is to bring our hunger to this table that Jesus has set for us. As Jesus invited his followers to a Last Supper as a community, he said, "I am doing something new in my promise to you. And you will remember it when you think of my broken body and my spilled blood. You will remember this new covenant when you eat this bread and drink this cup. You will remember how I showed you what the kingdom of God really looks like. And in this remembering, you will receive what you need." So we come to this table to be fed with that remembering. If you hunger for strength, come, eat the broken bread, the broken body of Christ, and remember that God's power is made perfect in weakness. If you hunger for guidance, come, drink the cup, and be aware of God's Spirit filling and enlivening you. If you hunger for connection, come to the table with this body of believers and know that you share the table with centuries of believers across hundreds of borders. If you hunger for meaning, for welcome, for forgiveness, just come and be filled with the gift of Christ's sacrificial love for you. Your hunger is a holy invitation. Listen for the voice of God within it. As we prepare to come to the table, we will sing together.
Number 86 in your Sing the Journey books. Number 86. Let's stand to sing. If you are well familiar with this song and you want to sing along with the verses in the bottom, feel free to join me. taste and see the goodness of the Lord, of the Lord. Worship the Lord, all you people.
The hunger of your heart and soul is your holy invitation to this table. As we prepare ourselves in book, your greens sing the journey again, and turn to number 29. Hold that on your lap. We're going to sing this song as a theme throughout the season of Lent. And today we will sing it now throughout our prayer of preparation. Number 29. Let's pray together. God, we come to this table hungry and needing you. We hunger for a reminder of our hope that you reached unafraid into darkness and drew creation into being, and that because of your great love for this world, you just went on creating. You have led your people by the brightness of fire and the elusiveness of cloud. You call us back to yourself through prophets and poets, silence and tears. You lived in Jesus so that we might live in you. Restore us, O God. You are all we have. You give. We hunger to start over. We stuff ourselves with unfulfilling substitutes for your grace. We reach for what is quick and easy rather than being patient for what is nourishing and long-lasting. We pretend we know what will satisfy us, but we make ourselves sick. In our brokenness, we need your forgiveness. We hunger for your second chances. We are desperate for your promise of resurrection. Restore us, O God. You are all. We hunger for you, O God. We hunger for your love and your justice to rain down on us and all our neighbors. We hunger for your peace to fill the earth. We hunger to be known and named and loved just as you made us. Come to this table and meet our hunger. Restore us, O God. You are all we have. our lives are in your hands. So we pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen.